We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Hello, good morning, and welcome to St. Louis Voices. I am Tim Convey. It's good to be here. Thank you guys for joining us. Very excited about what we're going to be talking about today, because I just know the headlines. I don't know a whole lot about this organization, but I'm excited to find out, and hopefully you will find out with me. I am joined in the studio by Julie Gunlock. Hi, Julie.
Hi, how are you, Tim?
I am terrific. Thank you for being here. Julie is with an organization called Microfinancing Partners in Africa. You can check them out at microfinancingafrica.org. And here's the deal. So I had a St. Louis Voices show that I needed to do this week. And my dad is like, you got to talk to Julie. Her organization is so great. And I was like, okay, cool. We'll do it. I don't know anything about it, but I got faith in my dad and his enthusiasm for this. So tell me all about what you guys do.
All right. Well, Microfinancing Partners in Africa started in 2006. We got our 501c3. We're a local nonprofit. Started by a local sister, Sister Toni Temporiti, and we help finance small microfinancing projects on the ground in East Africa, mostly Kenya, Uganda, and Tanzania. And we kind of loosely define the term microfinancing. It started off as small microloans to people on the ground, as little as $5 or $10, which when you go into the slums of Africa can literally change someone's life. Mm-hmm. They start off with projects. They buy a bag of potatoes. They sell them one at a time, and then they have the money to have two bags of potatoes. And it goes on up until they can have their own market stall. We have livestock projects where we gift a live heifer and they pay back the calf as the way they pay their loan. We do piglet projects, we do water filter projects and clean water projects. We have a safe birth project where we're helping put ultrasound machines on the ground and training midwives in Uganda. So we have lots of tentacles reaching out in the ground, and we kind of evolve organically over there with what we do.
And how did the organization start? Who was over there and said, you know what, I'm going to start this thing, and here's why?
Well, our founder, Sister Toni Temporiti, worked here in St. Louis and came up time to her sabbatical, as she got, and decided that she wanted to travel Africa when she was on her sabbatical. And she signed up for a trip that went from Egypt to Cape Town. And she went with a group of students. She was counseling at a university. And they took a bus from one end of Africa to the other. And she came back just in love with the continent and really wanted to make a difference. And it kind of struck her one day as she was having lunch that for the price of the hamburger she was eating, she could probably change somebody's life. Mm-hmm. And she set about trying to find a way to do that. And to make a long story very, very short, came across a group called Jamii Bora in Nairobi, Kenya. And they taught her how microfinancing works. And from there, we just expanded, like I said, kind of organically into the surrounding countries.
And can you describe that term microfinancing? What exactly is that? What does that mean?
Well, microfinancing, the term was defined by a man named Muhammad Yunus in India. He actually won the Nobel Peace Prize for the concept. And it's the idea that people living in extreme poverty would love to lift themselves out of poverty in a way that surpasses straight charity. And it is giving very small loans to people on the ground that banks would not be bothered with. A bank is never going to give a loan for $20. And it is set up that they have to save money before they can borrow money as well, which for someone living on a subsistence income of just a dollar or two a day, that's really a hard concept. But that is the way people are able to lift themselves out of poverty. So it evolved that if you were able to save a dollar, I would lend you a dollar and we would match whatever savings it is. And we have grown with that concept, you know, to thousands and thousands and thousands of people on the ground.
Wow.
But it's the smallest loans. One of our partners, I was in Africa in January, And the way she was trying to save money, they have pay toilets in the slums in Nairobi. And so she parked herself outside of the building and was selling toilet paper by the square until she could have enough Kenyan shillings to take her loan and kind of work her way up there. You know, she'd start with a roll of toilet paper and then a 4-pack and then an 8-pack. And
wow.
You know.
And tell me how you got involved with the organization.
Well, I had a friend some years ago. It's kind of funny. I ran into him at a trivia night for a different organization. And I was just making small talk, asking him what was going on in his life. And he said he was really excited. He was about to go to Africa with this organization that I knew very little about. And I expressed envy because the travel bug has me. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know, I'm very jealous. I wish I could go to Africa. And he said, well, buy a plane ticket and come. I thought he was joking. Mm-hmm. I said, you think you're funny? I'll do such things. And he said, no, I'm serious. So I went home and I woke up my husband and I said, guess what? I'm going to Africa. He said, I don't want to go to Africa. I said, that's fine. You're not going to Africa. I'm going to Africa. And so my first trip to Africa was in January of 2012. Mm-hmm. And I was all in immediately when I saw the kind of difference we were making on the ground.
Wow.
And I went from that first trip within a few months, I was on the board of the organization.
Wow.
And now some years later, I've evolved and I'm on staff as development coordinator.
And tell me about that first trip. Had you ever been to Africa at that point?
I had never been to Africa. I had never really done any kind of what I would call third world travel.
Mm-hmm.
And it just blew my mind.
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't even wrap my mind around the kind of poverty I was seeing and the kind of lives people were living. Mm-hmm. I had a woman ask at one point how far I had to walk to get my water.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, wow, any of the 5 taps in my house. That's
right.
Crazy.
Right.
You know, we've had people ask us, you know, which child you decide to feed today.
Right.
And once you see that and you experience that, it just, coming home was culture shock.
Yeah.
I live near the West End, and my husband and I were driving through the West End, and everybody was sitting outside on the patios, eating their meals, and everybody had those, you know, full glasses of water with the ice and the condensation on the outside, and
yeah.
They weren't even looking at their water.
Right.
And I was like, oh my gosh. And it just changed my perspective on everything.
Yeah, it's remarkable how much we take for granted. So how long, that first time you were over there, how long were you there?
We were there about 3 weeks.
Oh, wow. Your first time.
My first time.
So you dove right in. Wow.
And we actually had to rearrange our trip. There was an Ebola outbreak in Uganda at that point in time. So we didn't go to Uganda on that trip. We kind of ended around. But then I went back in 2018. And I was back in January of this last year in 2019, and I'll be going again next September. We have a team on the ground in Africa right now.
Mm-hmm.
They left last Saturday, and they'll be there until, I would say, mid-October, maybe another week or two over there. We have teams on the ground with eyes on and hands on our projects at least twice a year, usually 3 times a year. So we never send money straight to Africa
mm-hmm.
and let it go and don't know where it's going. We have relationships with these people that we've been building for over a decade. And we go and we see what works for them and what doesn't work for them. And we listen to them and they listen to us and we work together to try to help their communities.
Right. If you guys are just tuning in, I'm talking to Julie Gunlock from Micro Financing Partners in Africa. You can check them out online, microfinancingafrica.org, a great organization that you can get involved with. So let's talk about that. What can people do to help? People who are listening, who are compelled by the stories, the things that you've seen over there, tell me what they can do to help.
So many things. I would start by going to the website and seeing what kind of projects we do. I find that when people start really looking at our organization, we have a project that speaks to everyone. If, you know, helping families and farmers is what gets you excited, we have the cow project. If it's helping single mothers, we have the pig project. If it's maternal health, we have the ultrasound project. And everybody can get behind clean water, which is one of our big, big things. The main thing we do on the ground here in the States is fundraise.
Yeah.
So we are always looking for donations, and we're always also looking for volunteers to help us with events. We have an event coming up. We have a trivia night on November 9th of this year at Crestwood Community Center. please contact us if you'd like to be involved in that or attend that in any way. It's always a fun night with, you know, prizes and games mm-hmm. and raffles and all of those fun things we do on trivia nights here in St. Louis.
Right.
We have a large gala event in the end of April, which is our kind of largest fundraising event. We have about 300 people at Sunset Country Club and generally have African performers there. And other than that, we just mostly go to coffees and happy hours, and we talk about what we do and try to get people excited. We like to get people who are excited about us, if they're able to take a trip with us mm-hmm. to Africa, because it changes people. I used to say it changed my life, but the truth is it changed who I was.
Yeah. And what do you mean by that?
I think it just made me more cognizant on a really global level of how lucky we are, mm-hmm. like you said, and B, how interconnected we can be mm-hmm. if we try to be, and how everyone in the world is the same.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody wants their kids to be healthy. Everybody wants to be able to send their kids to a good school. Everybody just wants to be happy, healthy, and at peace.
Mm-hmm. And you guys are finding a way to make that happen for people over there. And like you said, we lose so much perspective and take so many things for granted that we have over here. So people should absolutely check out the website microfinancingafrica.org. And same thing, it's a couple bucks you guys can do something with. If people want to go to Africa and help you out, you can do something with just coming to these events, supporting it, talking about it. And it sounds like you guys are there to educate people on these things, just getting together, telling them what's going on, and they can find all of that at the website, right?
Absolutely.
So microfinancingafrica.org. Tell me, give me some of the success stories. That's what I love the most about doing the show is you know, not only hearing about these organizations, but the, when it started out, it looked like this. And by the end, it was this, some of these turnarounds and the impact you're having on people's lives.
Well, we have a group in Tanzania. It's called BWEA, which stands for the Bukoba United Women's Empowerment Association. And it started with a group of women on the ground that had retired. And they met once a week just to kind of get together, and they decided they were going to do a small kind of round robin loan thing amongst themselves, where every week they'd each put in like a dollar, and one at a time they'd take money out to work on whatever project they wanted. And these women went from having very little to starting projects like poultry farms. Chickens are very large. They would be able to go out and buy 20 chickens, and then they can sell the eggs and so on and so forth. And that group that started with five or six women has membership at over 1,000.
Wow.
At this point. And they have expanded immensely in the area they are in Tanzania. It's very easy to grow soybeans. Nobody likes to eat soybeans. They're disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
And so they decided they were going to make a factory. Granted, their factory is about the size of my living room and
right.
has very little mechanical component to it at all, but they grind the soybean to make soy flour now, and they bake muffins for the surrounding area, and they take a Boda Boda, which is what they call a little motorcycle taxi,
mm-hmm.
from job site to job site, and they take these muffins around and sell them to construction workers in the area,
wow.
which is able to bring the money back in. They've been able to build a daycare center on the grounds of the factory so the women can come to work and their children have preschool and daycare, and it really helps lift up the whole community. What
yeah.
starts with just three or four women changes an entire village or entire town.
Isn't that wild? And it seems like what you guys are doing is so special because it's not just providing aid, like here's some clean water for a little bit, here's some food for a little bit, but changing their lives, giving them the tools they need to get out of that poverty and then, like you said, make an impact on the community, but also help other people.
Well, and I think we are different from a lot of charities and organizations that do work in Africa because we don't go tell them what to do.
Right.
Ever. And we have a project where we treat women who are post-fistula, they've had birthing injuries. And that was the beginning of what we called the Pig Project at the time. And these women were given a pig to raise with friends. And then they could sell the offspring. They paid back a couple offspring. And those women came to us a couple years ago, and they said to us, I don't want to do pigs. Is there something else I can do? And, you know, pigs are easy over there. And we didn't understand. And we were like, well, why don't you want to do pigs? And the woman said, well, my neighbor is a Muslim and she can't help me with pigs. She wants to do something else. Can we do something else? So we were able to set up more vocational training in that program as well, where they can learn to do hairstyling or run a shop or a variety of other things. We didn't insist that people do pigs. We want to know what's going to help everybody around them as well, so we can work with them too.
Wow, that's incredible. Thank you for being here. Tell me about those events one more time, the events coming up. So November 9th, the Trivia Night is in Crestwood.
Yes, it's at White Cliff Park, Crestwood Community Center. You can email us or sign up via the website to come to Trivia there. And then in late April, we have our big gala event at Sunset Country Club out in Sunset Hills. And we are always looking to make new friends and to bring new people on board with us at Microfinancing Partners.
Yeah.
We're excited about the work we do. And we know that when other people see the work we do, they get excited too.
That's so great. Please check them out. Julie, thank you so much for being here. Again, the organization is called Microfinancing Partners in Africa. And you can check them out online. Write this down or just log on right now. Microfinancingafrica.org. That's microfinancingafrica.org. Thanks, Julie.
Thank you, Tim.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.